MLS Aces episode 191. This is your host, Tom Sweezy. I'm really liking this new angle of me. Again, I'm talking to you pre-show, Sam, but I like the new angle.
Oh, I'm good.
Joined by the number one dad or the high dad in the world.
Hey, Dad.
Sam Nelson. Sam, how are you?
Doing good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad to, I feel like we've started every single episode this way the past 3 weeks.
True.
The roster rotation's really been a fantastic thing.
It's good when you have depth, isn't it? Colorado.
Exactly. Colorado's going to feel the depth.
Just tell them.
Soon. We'll talk about why the Rapids are going to need some depth because they've had quite a few players called up to the U.S. Men's National Team Gold Cup roster. But before we take a deep dive into what Greg Berhalter called up for the 2021 Gold Cup roster. let's talk a little bit about us, about MLS Aces. Maybe this is your first time watching this. Maybe this is your first time listening to the podcast, whatever it may be. We are a podcast. We are a YouTube. We are a Twitch show. Whatever you want to say there. I even started a TikTok at 1 a.m. on Tuesday night, so we'll see how that goes.
Love TikTok, though.
hey, follow us. MLS Aces on there as well. But this podcast, this show, everything like that is brought to you guys by Added Time Outfitters. If you don't know what Added Time Outfitters is, Added Time Outfitters creates a soccer-inspired story on a wristband for you to wear. I'm wearing mine right now. I'm wearing my NYCFC one.
I was wearing mine all day and then took it off. Dang.
Hey, it's a good working wristband, really. But
it is. I wore it all day at work.
Added Time Outfitters, they take your favorite team, your favorite game, and your favorite moment from your favorite team, throw it that 90-minute game, that 90-minute story on a wristband for your wrist, right? I know they have a bunch of brand new ones coming out. I think the latest one they dropped was the USMNT's victory over Mexico in the CONCACAF Nations League final. The full breakdown of Yarborough and the Pulisic goal and all that stuff, right? So, you know, go check out their website at addedtimeoutfitters.com. And if you guys see anything you like, see anything that's pretty cool on your end and you want to buy for yourself, a family member, a friend, whatever it may be, use promo code MLS Aces and get yourself a nice little discount at checkout. That way you support Added Time Outfitters. That way you support us as a podcast, as a show that you like and you're listening to, or maybe you're listening to one time, whatever it may be. And you're also getting yourself a nice discount on a wristband that, you know, you want at the end of the day. So again, edittimeoutfitters.com, edittimeoutfitters on all their social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of that. And again, use promo code MLS Aces. That's MLS ACES for a discount at checkout. Thank you, Added Time Outfitters. Thank you guys for always watching, listening, supporting us. If you guys do like us, you guys want to support us more often, then you can go over to MLSaces.com, check out the blogs that we got going on over there. We've been turning out blogs like crazy the past 2-3 weeks. I got to shout out Graham. Graham has been the editor-in-chief of MLSaces.com. He's been getting everything going. He's been doing a great job getting, you know, everyone who's writing stuff, contributing stuff for the website out there for everyone to read. So if you guys are interested in any blog pieces coming out midweek, then definitely go on to MLSaces.com for that. You can also support us at patreon.com/MLSaces. Small monthly fee. So I think $2 a month is the cheapest one. You guys can help support us and show your love as well. Get entry into our group chat, chat MLS and soccer with us on a daily basis if you want. I mean, I don't know. I suck. Sam, you're pretty cool, but I suck. So I don't know why you would want to do that. But if you want to, we always appreciate it. We love it. So get into the group chat there.
It really took me. I wasn't really prepared for that.
The last
Tom, you don't suck. You're the leader of the gang.
I suck. No one likes the leader.
It's the Red Power Ranger.
The last thing that I want to say that is out there right now, if you go onto any of our social media, our Twitter and our Instagram especially, you will see a link to purchase MLS Aces apparel. I think 2 episodes ago, I teased it a little bit and I was talking about it. Well, now it's real. You can get yourself an MLS Aces t-shirt, tank top, hoodie. I think there's like a nice baseball tee. I'm a big baseball tee
fan. I love those baseball tees.
So I threw it up there as well. If you guys want to get your own MLS Aces apparel, then go onto our Twitter, onto our Instagram. You'll see the link there. 4 have already been sold. The shop's only going to be open for, I think, another 2.5 weeks. So make sure you get on yours now if you want it. Now, that's all of the show cleanup notes, everything like that. Sam, you ready to talk some soccer?
I'd love to.
All right. Let's talk the major thing that dropped today, what everyone wants to know about, what everyone wants to hear, takes and opinions and give their own opinions about. That's the Gold Cup roster. So what was it? 2-3 weeks ago, Greg Berhalter and the U.S. men's national team dropped the 60-man provisional roster. Again, if you want to read what that was, MLSaces.com, I gave a blog take on that. But now, today, on Thursday.
Love a good provisional roster.
You'll love a good makeup 15 starting 11s from 60 names.
I love it because you get everyone's middle names. Right? I think that's the best part about a provisional roster. Or like the official rosters, is you get like middle names for guys. Like what Paxton Pomykal has like a super basic middle name, and then there's like guys with just crazy names. Like I love it. I love it so much.
Then there's Reginald Cannon. You know,
that's my guy, Reginald.
So today, Thursday, Greg Berhalter, U.S. Men's National Team, dropped the 23-man roster that will be competing in the 2021 version of CONCACAF Gold Cup. It is an interesting group. It is a group with a lot of exciting names, mostly MLS-based, and I think four European-based players also joined this group. So, Sam, I figured we take this group by group, break down the names, break down who we like, who we don't want to see, and everything in between. Sound
Let's
good?
Let's do it. I'm all about it.
Let's start with your favorite group. I'll let you read through the goalkeepers and go with, you know, where you want to start with that.
Fantastic. Yeah, so for goalkeepers, we have Matt Turner from the New England Revolution, Sean Johnson from NYCFC, and Brad Guzan, who just hangs around because he's still playing for Atlanta United. And you know what? Brad Guzan is definitely there not to start, not to probably even be the backup, but Brad Guzan is going to be an amazing third goalkeeper because you because that's important.
No,
the third goalkeeper position is like, you know, absolute hype man. He knows he's not going to see the field except for like under absolute catastrophes. Like he might see a group game in one of the easier games, but like he's going to be the hype man and he's going to be the experience, the most experienced player on this roster by far. I think that's a really big deal. Between Matt Turner and Sean Johnson, I do think each one of them will probably start a group game, but I think going into the knockouts, you're going to see Matt Turner kind of taking the sticks. That's kind of been expected by fans. I think we've all just kind of seen that this one coming, that Gold Cup was going to be Matt Turner's time to shine.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the worst rumor kept out there, right? That Matt Turner was going to be in this group. Matt Turner is going to be the starting goalkeeper for this group, and he is going to have every opportunity to I think what Revolution fans want to say, compete for the number one job with Stefan, but I think really compete for the number two job with Ethan Horvath. And I said Blaine Yarborough during the ad read before. I meant Ethan Horvath. Everyone knows what I meant. I caught myself on that. But
that guy.
the U.S. men's national team legend, Ethan Horvath. But
yes.
Matt Turner, this is going to be his time to shine. You know, there's been many a notion out there that Matt Turner is statistically one of the best shot stoppers in MLS history. I'm not getting into that argument, Sam.
Don't do this with me.
The numbers do prove he is very, very good. I really enjoy Matt Turner. And what I really want to say about the goalkeeping group here, I don't really give a shit who else was picked as the two other goalkeepers.
Yeah.
Matt Turner's the dude. Matt Turner's the guy. I loved that Sean Johnson is there. Berhalter has trusted Sean Johnson as a veteran keeper in a few games already. So I kind of expected Sean John to be the backup. And I really didn't give a shit who the third keeper was. Just my personal fandom. It would have been cool to see Timilia there. I think.
Yeah.
It just would have been cool. He's also, you know, he's my guy. But Matt Turner, it's Matt Turner, ride or die. Screw the rest. That's how I feel.
Pretty much. I mean, realistically, I think if it wasn't going to be someone young, like a Choa maybe, as a third keeper, it makes sense to bring in the experience. So it doesn't surprise me. Is Guzan still the number one in Atlanta? I haven't really watched Atlanta games a lot recently.
Yes, Guzan is still the number one keeper.
So... I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Fair enough. Good for him.
But Guzan's, like, he's
fine, but he wasn't 39. Right.
38, 39, something like that.
This is going to be his last tournament.
Look, my whole thing is like, he has a place, right? And I think him having a place as a third goalkeeper is perfectly fine.
As long as he's okay with that, I'm good with that.
Exactly. And you know what? I'll leave it there. I won't give a long-winded Tom Sweezy answer to my own question. So let's look at the defenders in this group. I'll kind of break it down more specifically position by position. But the left backs in this group, we have Sam Vines and George Bello. The center backs in this group, Walker Zimmerman, Miles Robinson, James Sands, and Donovan Pines. And then the right backs in this group, Reggie Cannon and Shaq Moore. TBT to Shaq Moore, baby.
It really is a throwback, isn't it?
I mean, I saw a tweet today that the last time we saw Shaq Moore in a USMNT jersey was a 1-0 loss to Italy in like 2018 or some shit like that. Like crazy.
So it's been a bit.
But
wait, we lost 1-0 to Italy? All right, that's pretty good right now.
That sounds looking pretty nice. We called up a pretty decent group of defenders here. I'm not overly complaining about many of them. I think Shaq Moore, honestly, I'm having fun with the TBT, but he might be the only player in this group that I'm like, why is he there? We'll get to the snubs later on. Let's just talk about the people who are here right now. For me, Jason and I have been talking about it for like, I feel like a month now. We are the biggest Sam Vines stands in the world.
Yes, no,
like,
same here.
Sam,
love Sam Vines.
George,
great name. Where's number 13? Good guy. Sam Vines, what a guy.
George Bello has a future, has a career in Europe. He's a very good left back. I think he's a much different left back than Sam Vines. I trust Sam Vines a little bit more defensively, and I think his offensive getting up the field, getting into the attack is coming. Sam Vines is my starting pick for left back here. I know we're getting into 11s in a little bit. I don't want to give away too many of my starting picks, but Sam Vines, like, for me, was an easy position of weakness for the USMNT. He's very good. He has a career in Europe coming up soon, and easy pending for me on the left back spot. Cannon, I thought was interesting. I thought he's in a little bit of a club situation, and obviously he's one of the few Nations League holdouts still on this roster. So, you know, I was surprised to still see him there. I was expecting, you know, like, okay, he's on the provisional roster, but he's not going to make the full-time roster. But we do get Reggie Cannon in, and then it's an interesting group of left center backs. I think, again, it's a very poorly hidden surprise that Zimmerman and Miles Robinson are going to be our starting duo for this Gold Cup. The center backs picked after was going to be a major question mark. I've been pushing for James Sands, my guy, for a while. We have not seen James Sands in the national team picture. I am pumped to see him as the third center back on this roster, in, again, my opinion. But Sam, this defensive group, any other takes?
Yeah, so one thing I think, and at least this used to be the case, and I don't know what's happening now that Greg is in charge, but it very much used to be the thing that the Gold Cup was the U.S. kind of assumed they were going through anyway, going to make it at least semifinal kind of thing. So it was always a competition to grab those young guys in who were coming up on the ends of contracts, coming up on, you know, big summers for transfers kinds of thing, and get them minutes at the national team level, get them, you know, maybe what they need to get that to get the work permit in England, get the looks from the scouts out across the pond, as they say. And that's, I think, what we're kind of seeing with, like, George Bello, with Sam Vines. Like, I think Sam Vines is a very good left back, as we just said. George Bello is rumored to be going this summer. And I think it makes sense for the U.S. to call him up, get him minutes at an international level, prove to scouts what he can do. Same thing with someone like Miles Robinson, like James Sands. I don't think Donovan Pines is quite ready. Honestly, as a DC fan, like, I don't think he's ready for this. And I'm ready to be proven wrong, and I'm kind of nervous. But I think he's a good center back, but I think he's still raw, and he's coming off a lot of years under Ben Olsen that I'm not ready for. And he'll be all right. Same thing, Shaq Moore might be looking for a move. Reggie Cannon especially, like we already talked about, could be up for a move this summer, and this could be his tournament to shine. Like, he shined when he played against Costa Rica. He looked fantastic in that last friendly, and he looked great when he came on against Mexico in the Nations League final. So I think this is going to kind of be his tournament to just shine, look amazing, and pull a move in August.
So I don't want to talk about, like I said, I want to hold off on who's not on this roster until the end, but there are some pieces that I don't think you can consider these players snubs because there's an explanation of why they aren't there, right? So I think one of the, within the center back group, Greg Berhalter in his press conference today even said that this is a very weak center back group outside of Zimmerman, outside of Miles Robinson. He did come out and he said that guys like Cameron Carter-Vickers, Eric Palmer-Brown, and Matt Miazga are not there due to them trying to figure out a club situation, right? The lone army coming out of out of England, trying to figure out a club situation. So I get it. I'm not happy about it. I would love to have seen CCV there, especially, but I get it. So whatever there. And a similar situation with Brian Reynolds. Apparently Brian Reynolds would have been in this roster if Roma didn't just fire their hiring manager and Jose Mourinho was taken over there.
Gotta have a good preseason now.
Berhalter even said that Jose Mourinho has a, you know, a style of not playing younger players and playing older veterans. So he wants Brian Reynolds around Mourinho as much as possible to get some playing time somewhere, right? So I get it. I respect it. I think it's the right move to do. Just sucks not to see these types of players there for us. So those are some.
It worries me in the later rounds, but I mean, I'm not. Who's our group again? Do you have that written up?
Yes, our group for the Gold Cup right now is Canada, which is a tough draw.
That's tough.
No Jonathan David, though, for Canada. So that's an interesting one. Canada, Martinique, and then they're currently starting tomorrow or Friday, whenever you're listening to this, Friday of this week, whenever you are listening, watching, there are, I think, three play-in teams that are, there's like, I think, nine teams going for three spots for the rest of this Gold Cup. So we could end up with a Haiti. We could end up with a Bermuda. I'm just trying to think of some of the tougher teams. Haiti would be the worst one. If
I call it a group of death at that point.
Haiti, Canada,
USA. Oh my God.
Honestly, the only other group that compares is Mexico, El Salvador, Curacao, and then whoever else would get into that one as well. So, but yeah, that's the defenders.
And even Martinique like looked really good.
Yeah.
Gold Cups ago or last Gold Cup. Like they made knockouts, I think.
Yeah, no, they did. I think they moved on second. The only we'll take a quick step away from the U.S. men's national.
Because
I want to say this in that, you know, this will be the first Gold Cup where CONCACAF, you know, isn't allowed to rig it, where the U.S. and Mexico will end up on separate sides of the bracket. If for some reason the U.S. or Mexico finish first, and then in the other group, U.S. or Mexico finish second, then they will end up on the same side of the bracket and we will not meet in a final. So there could be a possible scenario where, let's say, Mexico finishes first in their group and we finish second in our group. We would have to run through, I think, either Costa Rica or Jamaica. And then I think it would be, Costa Rica or Jamaica, then Mexico in a semifinal, and then whoever the hell in a final, if we get
Canada.
So, you know, it's good to be.
CONCACAF's finally good.
That's good. Tough if we don't win our group. So it's important for us to come out and win this group. That is also the point I want to throw out there and say. So that's the defenders. The only other, I guess, defender that I wanted to throw out there, you know, a good explanation of why they aren't there is Julian Araujo. You know, very talented right back for the Galaxy. I think probably should have made it over Shaq more, but apparently Greg Berhalter announced today in his press conference that Julian Araujo is not ready to fully commit to the U.S. men's national team. He is a Mexican-American national. Tata Martino has talked about Julian Araujo before. So Araujo, fully aware that if he plays in a Gold Cup game, he's a USMNT player for life, and in a very tough right back group, I kind of get it. So
I really wish that like Mexico had a shittier coach than Tata Martino, because I'd commit to play with him. Like, hell yeah. Right?
And especially when you're looking at the right back group.
Yeah.
With Des Cannon, Yedlin, Reynolds. Yeah. It's tough.
That's pretty harsh.
So that's the defenders. Sam, do you want to read through the midfielders for me?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. All right. So it's just DMs and CMs. It's left wing, right wing, forward,
the
six, right?
And the eights.
Those are forwards. Okay.
Yeah.
So at DM, we got Kellen Acosta and Jackson Ewell. Jara, solid picks, I'd say. And then at CM, we have Sebastian Legette. Can't get away from him. Eric Williamson, Gianluca Busio. No, we'll have words. Gianluca Busio and Christian Roldan.
All right. Well, I want to start with this Sebastian Legette take then if we're going at this. Sebastian Legette had two poor games in Nations League. He did not have a good showing in the semifinal against Honduras, and he did not really have a great showing before that as well. I don't know if he subbed onto the Mexico game. Don't really remember
that
night. Okay, so then it was the Mexico game and the Honduras game that he didn't really have a great showing. How many before that, how many games can you legitimately remember where Sebastian Legette played poorly for the U.S. men's national team?
I feel I can't tell what point you're trying to prove here.
That he has a deserving spot on this roster.
Why does he have a deserving spot on this roster? Like, is he any good in MLS? Like, barely.
I think like, he's very good.
I just, like, I don't see Sebastian Legette, like, as a long-term, like, he's there for, like, I don't know, support. Like, he's to be, there for- be an elder. Elderman, but like, you know, who's missing out? Like, we're losing out on the center mid, so the Sebastian Legette can be in there.
I think that that's kind of tough. That's Sebastian Legette has been, like I said, I am never gonna disqualify a guy for him never having a poor, never truly having a bad game for the U.S. men's national team. He's had poor games, but the guy's also coming in, closing in on 30 caps. He's one of, the more veteran players at 28 years old. He's playing well underneath Vanny now in a system that's kind of working. And you know what? He's also scored a lot of goals for Greg Berhalter within the past year. I am a Legette stan. I will say that on this 11, he is another dude that I penciled in right away at one of the eights. Because Legette scores, Legette plays well, and he is going to be one of the needed dudes coming off the bench for the full-time team. When we're looking at everyone together, he is going to be a dude who is going to be there in the 18 and going to be playing at some point. And Berhalter's already shown his like and his favoritism towards Legette as well.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, I don't know. You call it favoritism. I am disagreeing. I call it favoritism the same way Jazzy Zardes is in this roster. Like it's just one of those guys. It's one of his guys. And like I get it. You have to have those guys that you trust no matter what, especially in an international tournament. Like I get that. But like Sebastian Legette is he's a fine player, and yes. He plays well when the U.S. men's national team plays the Haiti B team and when they play the Jamaican D team and when they play the like the Panama J team. Like, yeah, he's fine, and he's scoring three goals against Panama, which looks great on paper until you see that Panama didn't call up anyone in like their like top three teams. So, like,
I'm about to pull some shit up. You keep
pull talking. Up some stats. I'm not going to change my mind on Legette. I'm not sure like to change Legette. Your mind. Change the listeners' minds.
Yeah.
He's a fine player, and like I'm fine with him. Like when he came on in the Nations League, like that was fine, and because at that point you need to hold your own with a veteran player, and that's cool. But I expected to see someone else on this roster instead of him.
So from
give me numbers.
I'm just giving you numbers. I'm not giving you numbers. I'm talking to the fans and the listeners now. I'm letting them make their own decision, okay? Because
no. You can't just like cherry pick numbers. I need all the numbers.
I'll give you all the numbers. That's fine. Okay. So since February of 2020, Sebastian Legette has played in 11 games for the U.S. men's national team and Greg Berhalter.
Played 11 games since 2020.
He has played 11.
Bit ridiculous.
Played in 11 games. He has scored 5 goals against Switzerland, against Jamaica, and you are correct, with a poor El Salvador and a poor Panama side, but did score against Switzerland and a decent Jamaica side as well. So I will say that. Also has an assist in that poor El Salvador game as well. But I think, like you said, Sebastian Legette is getting minutes, and he's getting minutes in important games, whether fans, you like yourself or myself, like it or not. And he has a spot on this roster. That's just my only take. I like Sebastian. I want him part of this team. I want him part of 2022 when the World Cup comes around. And getting him to be leading a group of MLS dudes, I think, is important.
Hold up, now I'm going through this these games. Well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. I don't know. He scored against Switzerland. They beat France. Fuck.
And the Jamaica game. That was a good Jamaica team.
Was that the good Jamaica team, though?
That was the first time that Kamara Lawrence and Andre Blake were back for Jamaica, was that game.
Hold up. I'm pulling up, this should not be what I'm doing with my night. Okay. Looking up this Mexico game. But I'm looking. Andre Blake didn't play in this game.
Oh, he didn't? Okay, then I was wrong. No,
I don't recognize any of the names on this Jamaican team.
Can we have a friendly bet?
Fine, okay. I like money.
Sebastian Legette scores over three.
In the whole tournament or in the group stage? Tournament. Where are we at? In the whole tournament. Over three against Canada? Probably not going to score. Martinique's fine. Will he score a hat trick? That's what I'm wondering.
Okay, how about this?
Over under 3.5, call it.
I'll go over.
Okay, I'll go under.
Entire tournament.
Fine.
Over 3.5.
Take the over. I will take the under.
That's fine. Okay, we'll talk offline about what the terms of the bet are going to be. We've spoken a lot about Sebastian Legette because it shows how important he is to this roster. But other midfielders that I'm excited about, I think Eric Williamson and Gianluca Busio, easy to talk about, right? Eric Williamson and Gianluca Busio have been absolute stars of the start of this 2021 MLS season. Williamson filling in for Diego Chara when Diego Chara was out for a few games, playing at the 6. He's playing at the 8. He's creating. He's doing everything for this Timbers midfield. Should have been there for the Tokyo roster, or I guess the Olympic qualifying roster, whatever it was.
Qualifying for the Tokyo roster.
So I'm happy that he is in this roster, and that was a decision. If Williamson wasn't there, I was ready to go nuts on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think a similar situation with Gianluca Busio, who is getting very heavy rumors to Serie A. This will cap tie him. This will make him ours.
Let's all remember, the rumors are Sassuolo, which your boy called.
Yeah,
so
Sassuolo would be big. I would like that. And then obviously Kellen Acosta, Jackson Ewell, two dudes coming over from the Nations League roster. Again, Acosta can fill in a little bit at left back. We saw what he did against Mexico. Great shift against Mexico.
Yeah.
I think this is Jackson Ewell's last time to shine if he is going to.
His last chance.
So
didn't he start against Honduras?
He did.
And he looked rough.
Well. Yeah. Acosta came in for him.
Yep. I assume Acosta is at least going to start the Canada game. Ewell in the Martinique game. And then we'll see about the third game.
I'm assuming that they're both going to play every
game. I think so. Oh, I absolutely think so. And they have to. The way Berhalter wants his sixes to play, they're both going to have to run because they are all over that back line.
Unless we push James Sands into the six, that's what I'm here for.
How big is James Sands?
He's a
big guy.
I'll look this up. I think
just because I'm wondering, I don't really carry it away. I know he can play the six. I just didn't know
Well, he's actually naturally a six.
Yeah,
he's been pushed into center back due to NYCFC's lack of center backs and everything like that. So the only person we didn't talk about in this midfield group is Christian Roldan.
Just love seeing him there, though.
I guess.
Let's do this.
He's a person.
Let me pull up some stats. No, I'm just kidding.
he's never had a good showing for the USMNT.
I'm not pulling up numbers on this. I think, but Roldan has earned it with his performance for Seattle, hasn't he? I mean, the problem is that Berhalter wants him to play very different than he does in Seattle. Yeah. So he looks really, really good when he plays for the Sounders, and then he comes in for the national team. And the other thing is he's so versatile that I know Berhalter's had him play right back. I know that he's had him play at defensive mid. He's had him play at attacking mid, center. Like, he's had him play everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, finding, you know, like, where's he best at, like, should not be in an international game.
We'll talk about snubs after we go through the roster, but there's four players I would have rather have seen in that midfield over Christian Roldan. Just from the provisional group, there's four players. Okay. I like Christian Roldan. I think he's a very good MLS player.
Oh, yeah.
We can leave him at that, in my opinion. But let's talk about the
funny. We have very similar opinions on different players.
Let's talk about the final group, the forwards, and let me go through the entire forwards and I'll explain why certain people are listed as they are.
Please do.
So the left wings, we have Jonathan Lewis of the Colorado Rapids and Matthew Hoppe of Schalke. The right wings, Paul Areola of DC United and Nicholas Giochini of Cayenne. And then in the center, the striker position, Daryl Dike of Orlando City and Giannis of the Columbus Crew. For now. Giochi's going to Europe. But I will just say this. Not many listeners or anyone I didn't know before today that Greg Berhalter saw Matthew Hoppe and Nicholas Giochini as winger options. Apparently, he believes that they are, and he believes that Hoppe can be a good backup to Jonathan Lewis at left wing, and Giochini can be a good backup at right wing to Paul Areola, maybe shifting dudes around a little bit. Maybe we get a two up top. I don't know, but that's just what Berhalter said today. So let's start with Daryl Dike, because I think he is the number one. We're making a roster around Daryl Dike. Like,
yeah, he's starting. Absolutely.
Matt Turner and net Daryl Dike up top. Let's figure out
the middle. Absolutely.
So, I mean, look, the dude, if he has a great showing in this Gold Cup, like, and he doesn't go to a European team, I don't know what's wrong with the world. Like,
he's already earned it. He's earned a move to Europe already.
Yeah, he's earned the move to Europe already. I think that if he has a very good showing, he'll also solidify himself as the USMNT number one.
I think so.
Greg Berhalter came out today and said that, yes, Daryl Dike's looked good at the international level, but he's never scored in a competition game. He's only scored in friendlies, which I understand.
He didn't get to play in the competition.
Yes, he didn't get to play in Nations League. He was with the team. Then he goes out against Costa Rica and scores. This is his time to shine, and I think this is Berhalter's plan the entire time, was to have him come in for Gold Cup. So Daryl Dike, and then a veteran presence behind him in Giassi Zardes. Sam, I'm sure we'll talk about who else you would have preferred, but no to Giassi.
Again, it's like I said about Legette, like, he's one of he's one of Greg's guys. He's been one of Greg's guys since his first U.S. Men's National – U.S. Men's National Team game.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, if you want a safe bet at striker, you take Zardes. Like, you just do. And I get it.
Is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing because he performs.
Yes.
It's not the sexy pick. But he gets the job done. And so, like, as a backup, I trust Zardes to come onto the field in like the 78th minute and at least get a shot on target. I absolutely can. So, like, it's not, you know, my favorite pick, but I do think it's a smart choice.
I can agree with that. I think that's a very fair assessment. Giassi Zardes with 12 goals in his 56 caps for the USMNT. So, let's talk about the wingers, because pretty much Berhalter has announced that Lewis and Areola are going to be his starting left and right wing, respectively.
That's probably smart.
I get it. Areola, to me, and this is Tom Sweezy's take, and this is not Sam Nelson's take, Areola to me is very much like Sebastian Legette, a dude who's probably never going to excel much past a major league soccer point, maybe go on like a loan deal to Swansea or whatever it may be, like that,
until the field ruins his knees.
Yeah, until that, right? But I think they are MLSers for life, MLSers true and true. and that they've never really had a bad performance for the U.S. men's national team. They're Greg Berhalter's guys. They're going to do well when they're suiting up in the red, white, and blue. They're veterans within a very young group for dudes who are, I think they're arguably part of that lost generation of U.S. soccer. And
yeah, they probably are.
I'm happy to see it. I'm a big Paul Arriola fan, the same way I'm a big Sebastian Legette fan, and I'm happy he's in there. He was an easy pencil for me as well.
Oh my God, Paul Arriola is younger than me. Holy shit.
Is he really? How old?
That's not good. February 5th, 95. Oh my God.
He's young. He's older than me. Ha. Huh.
Holy shit, I didn't see that one coming, honestly.
I didn't know me and Paul Arriola were the same age. That's
yeah, about that. Yeah, it feels weird to have someone younger than you on a jersey you own.
Yeah,
never see that one. I guess I've never seen that one coming with age. No, I think so for me, Paul Arriola, like, yeah, he never got the chance at Swansea because of his knee injury, like,
yeah,
which he blames. If you read the Athletic article, it's really funny. He hates the fields in the championship. Like, he says the training fields are nice, but every stadium's field is shit and it'll ruin your legs. Well, they're terrible. Yeah. But I just think that's so funny that he'll just come out and be like, yeah, fuck that. Like, that was terrible. But
and he also, when he was on Extra Time, did say that his true position was never like an option at Swansea. Like, Swansea,
no, not the way they played. He couldn't play a wing.
He would have been a right wing back the entire time. And he said that that was not beneficial to him. So also throwing that out there.
Yeah, totally agree. So like, it's definitely better for him to be back in DC for right now. I think Paul Arriola is like gold cup US men's national team. Like, I don't think he's a Nations League guy. I don't, well, maybe early Nations League, but I don't think he's like playing in the Nations League final. I don't think, you know, he'd be a World Cup guy, maybe throw him in some qualifiers, but Paul Arriola is a gold cup player. In my opinion, like, that's his level, is like gold cup against like most of the guys, like B teams, and like, he would do well. I think that's where he fits.
To me, he's like Benny Failhaber-esque.
Cool.
Is that, I don't know if that's a good comparison, but I know Failhaber had more of a more of like a World Cup type.
He played a lot more Zuzi. Like, outside of that, outside of the 2014 World Cup, where like he, you know, got the assist for that goal, but like, I think like Zuzi's probably a gold cup guy. Zuzi esque, like, throw him in the World Cup and see what happens. Like, hey, you know, 2020.
Nick Raimondo esque.
Nick Raimondo, best number three keeper there's ever been.
So what I want to say about Paul Arriola, and maybe I'm challenging you a little bit again here, is I think, The same way I feel about Sebastian Legette.
Yep.
He is a 2022 World Cup 18 player when he's playing at his best. He is that the first winger coming off the bench.
For Ariel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Maybe you
have him higher up than I do, even.
Honestly, I think me saying that, I might take that back a little bit now. Forgetting,
I will say, on Football Manager, he was my number one winger off the bench in 2022.
I mean,
you go, right?
I think the emergence of Timothy Weah this past year, while Ariola's been hurt, has hurt his USMNT stock. But I want to see Ariola in the 2022 World Cup picture somewhere. That's just where I view him.
Well, I think, he has, now that he's like, you know, he's clearly gotten the work permit to Swansea, which getting a work permit in England is fucking impossible. So, like, the fact that he could get that, and like, they were willing to loan him, if he can just get like a loan to a team that actually will play a freaking winger, somewhere, like, he clearly proved that one of the best teams in the second division in England was willing to take a punt on him. I don't see why he couldn't do it again. So,
you know, he's 26
maybe next year.
He's 26 years old, and he, you know, again, that interview he had with Extra Time, I thought was very good.
I need to listen to that.
In the fact that he was pretty much saying that Swansea didn't work out. It was an agreement between himself, DC, and Swansea for him to return back to DC rehab and get well with the team.
Yeah.
And then maybe down the line, there's another option in Europe. you know, he's still come out and said he wants to play in Europe in the long haul. He's 26 years old. He has, I think he has the potential to play 2, 3, 4 seasons in Europe. If, you know, another successful spell at DC happens, maybe a great Gold Cup pushes him into that as well. So we'll see. You know, as you can tell, we're both probably big Paul Ariola fans here. So
you know who we've been deprived of in this fucking tournament because of Europe? Jordan Morris. This should have been Jordan Morris's again. Like he would have been the left winger. He would have been killing it.
Morris, DK,
Morris, like we
Ariola.
Ariola, like that's a sick combo, and we were deprived of it because but what field was it on that he got hurt? Like, was it a training match or was it a game?
I think, like, it was training.
We got deprived because the freaking Welsh don't know how to like lay a pitch.
So, I mean, yes, I agree. This Jordan Morris is also going to fall into the camp. His injured timeout is going to hurt his stock while everyone else is rising, right?
Yeah.
I think it's sad to say, it's sad to hear and see, but this is a very weak left wing class. We'll talk about a few names, I think, that maybe could have been there over even a Jonathan Lewis, who is the perceived starter. But any other takes on the dudes who are here currently in this roster before we go into snubs?
Yeah. Gio Achini, I had read, when he first was coming up at the last like national team appearance he had, that like he could play right wing, and I went, oh, like that makes sense then, like he was gonna play right wing. But like Matthew Hoppe on the left wing does kind of confuse me, because as far as I know at Schalke he was only playing up front by himself, so that one's really interesting. Obviously, like he was drifting wide a lot, but like I'm gonna be really interested to see how he plays. And either way, like this is a really big opportunity for him, because I don't think he's moving, and so he's going to be going to play for one of the best teams in the second league in Germany next year, and expecting to start games. So, like, I hope he has a good showing when he plays, but he's not a left winger in my opinion. But I'm not Greg Berhalter, so I'm willing to be wrong.
I don't think Hoppe is a left winger. From the little bit of Schalke that I did watch last season, definitely a dude who just kind of ran behind the defense and took advantage of one-on-one opportunities, whatever it may be.
He abused like being fast, I think, right?
Yeah. And you know, last season had 6 goals in the Bundesliga. Like, you really that's nothing to blink an eye at, especially when you are on like arguably like the record worst team in Bundesliga history. Like,
you pretty know, fucking bad.
Not a good team whatsoever. You still bag 6 goals and an assist. So good for him. I'm excited that he's part of the roster. I just don't know how I feel about him on the wing. And also, just to throw out there for, you know, listeners and everything like that, Giacchini, 5 goals and 1 assist in Liga action last year. So
Hoppe, according to Transfermarkt, has only ever played up front.
Yeah,
striker, center forward, all that good stuff.
Apparently, like, Berhalter
never played on the wing.
Berhalter acknowledged the lack of left wing depth, and we'll talk about one.
I know a guy who could have played a left wing.
Yeah, I know a few. Especially dudes who physically could have been there.
Physically.
Yeah, but you know, Hoppe apparently has shown in trainings that he can play out wide a little bit. We'll see.
I think that either way, he should have been called in. I think it's the right call to bring him in, but not there.
I wasn't sold on him, to be completely honest. But let's dive into snubs. Let's dive into dudes who we felt should have been there. So I guess we'll just go. We don't have to go over every name on our list.
Call it the big three.
I kind of just threw out some names that were interesting and we could talk about. One name I do kind of just want to get out of the way super early is Caden Clark. And the reason why Caden Clark is not there, Berhalter said he would have been there, but had an appendectomy a week ago.
Caden Clark had an appendectomy?
Yeah, so the dude just had his stomach cut open. So understandable of why.
What position does Caden Clark play? He's up front, isn't he?
He could play a little attacking mid, a little wing, you know.
Yeah, so Hoppy got in because Caden Clark had an appendectomy.
Yeah, probably.
Almost so, definitely.
So we'll toss that one out there. But right, I want to
throw that out the window.
I'll start with a dude who I think should have been there over Hoppy and over Jonathan Lewis at the left wing. Yeah. That is my man, Cade Cowell. I don't know if that's what you were thinking, Sam, but Cade Cowell.
He's definitely one of the two.
He has been the like only solid offensive piece, the only solid piece, period, for the San Jose Earthquakes like this entire season.
Remember early on when we thought that San Jose was going to be super good? Yeah, and it turns out it was just Cade Cowell being awesome.
They do it every year. They do where they look so good for 6 weeks, and then
you can say that because they follow you on Twitter. They still don't follow me on Twitter, so right. Fuck them.
But like, Cade Cowell, he's been playing a lot of wing this year for Almeida. In recent games, hasn't been playing much of at all coming off the bench. So very odd, I think. We'll get into Almeida in a little bit. But, he has probably been the best American left winger in MLS this season. And the fact that he wasn't called in over a Jonathan Lewis, who Jonathan Lewis has one start this entire season –
interesting. Wait, what?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. That?
Oh my god.
So Cade Cowell is my pick for a snub on this roster. Sam, I don't know if you have a dude you want to mention.
Yeah, Cash Muller. I think he had a great game. I guess it was the Trinidad game, which really isn't saying much. Because that game was kind of a wash. But he played well in that game, came on, scored a goal, and he especially coming off last year. He hasn't been as good this year as last year, but I think Chris Muller should have made this roster, and I think he could have played left wing.
So my only take on that is I'm seeing a lot of people upset that Chris Muller wasn't there. I love Chris Muller still.
Oh, yeah.
I just think his production hasn't been there in 2021, and if we're looking at people who are playing well right now, Chris Muller is not that dude. Neither is Jonathan Lewis. I'll also toss that out there. But Chris Muller isn't that guy for me. I think the last two games last week really did pad some stats a little bit with how great offensively Orlando looked. Yeah. But one goal and four assists in 10 games so far this year. Chris Muller is a very good player.
I feel like half this roster is they were called up not because of how they've been playing, but because of their experience. And the other half was but we called these guys up because they've been really good recently. And then we called other guys up because they're children.
I think up until the forwards, everyone has at least performed well for club. Well, that's I'm not going to say amazing. I'm going to say just fine. And then you get to the forwards, and I feel like it was just a free-for-all.
It's a shocking group of forwards.
But Chris Muller, definitely a good shout. I want to go with the shout of a dude who I didn't think was actually going to make the roster, but I'm still upset that he didn't. Leon Flock of the Philadelphia Union. He has proven he can play the six very well to a point where he's pushed himself into the Philadelphia Union lineup at the six. He has proven he can play an eight. And I just think his ability to kind of do everything in that midfield should have – I don't want to all of a sudden exile Jackson Ewell because he had one bad tournament, two bad games, whatever. But I really would have liked to see Leon Flock. The kid's also 20. I'm sure we'll see him in the future. But
yeah, he'll be around.
He's had a very good start to his MLS and his Union career. So he was just one dude who I was upset about.
Yeah, so I've now pulled up the provisional roster, which is really helpful when you talk about who missed out. Jeremy Abobase, I think, would have been a good pickup. I think that's the problem is has he ever gotten a start at the men's national team level?
He's gotten a I don't know.
Think he's a good player.
Again, good player not having a great season.
Mason Toy's having a good season.
Mason Toy, I would not have been upset with for a dude who's been having a good season. Jeremy Abobase, I think, scored his first goal of the season last week. For my striker, I want them scoring goals. Sorry, I don't like that. That may be
that's fair.
A poor take, but
So then my other forwards, wingers, guy that I'll last one. last one. Julian Green had a fantastic season with Greuther Fürth, promoted to the Bundesliga, which is why I assume he's not on this roster. But, like, that would have been kind of nice. Like, a guy with experience grinding through results. Like, that's important.
I think he falls into the club situation is a bit of a question mark.
I don't think he's moving.
No, I don't think he's moving, but I think especially going into the Bundesliga, he has to be there, get ready, train, fight for a spot, especially with any new players coming in, etc.
Fair enough.
So I think he falls into that camp. I would have loved to have seen him. Two dudes, just lastly for me, I'm not going to talk quick. I'm going to talk very quick on them. Paxton Pomykal, his injury history, I think, is the biggest reason why he's not here.
But it breaks, I think, all of our hearts that he's constantly getting injured because we know how good he's going to be.
Exactly.
And if he stays healthy for a full season, we know how good he'll be.
That's a fair point. We also know how much he can impact a team when he's on the field.
Oh, yeah.
The last player that I'd want to mention, and I think didn't make it because of a very compact midfield of a lot of midfield talent, Cole Bassett.
Yeah, that would have been really nice.
I also feel like you can't just take every Rapids player. There's probably a certain limit where Robin Fraser was like, Greg,
like, no, dude,
you have my 11, bro. I can't.
I can't even, like, and like I said, they can't fill out a roster because they don't have depth.
Exactly. So, now the Rapids don't have their starting left back in Sam Vines and their backup left back in Kellen Acosta. So we'll see what the Rapids do in MLS play. So I guess I am going to get super particular. Sam, you don't have to give me an explanation, but what is one player on this 23-man roster you are thrilled to watch?
Thrilled to watch.
Like, you are like, I'm my eyes glued on this guy. Dude.
Shit. I'm not going to be that guy and pick Matt Turner because I think we're all excited to watch Matt Turner. So, like, I want to see Matt Turner be a vocal leader at the back. I want to see him be, like, a real leader. Because if he's, like, a serious, like, in-your-face kind of goalkeeper, the way, like, even small-time Ethan Horvath with his, like, I drink Pepsi Max and don't smile kind of attitude. Like, Matt Turner can put up a fight for a number two spot like that. I'm really excited because, and like I said before, Reggie Cannon, I think this is his time to shine. This is his tournament to prove that he deserves to be really fighting with Dest for every start.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think he's going to earn a move after this. I think he's going to at least get to a team that's not bottom of the Portuguese first division. You know, really get a chance to fight for something besides relegation.
I can 100% agree with that.
So I'm excited for Reggie Cannon.
Mine is in the midfield. It's Eric Williamson.
Yes.
I think
Maryland product, Eric Williamson.
Everyone goes to Maryland. That's what I feel like right
now. Yeah, I mean, Maryland's, Zach Steffen went to Maryland. Nick Raimondo went to Maryland. Graham Zuzi went to Maryland. Kyle Beckerman went to my high school and Maryland.
Okay. But Williamson is a dude who I feel like could play very well next to Sebastian Legette as the 2-8s. I really like his ability to create. I like his ability to get back, play some defense. He's a physical dude. He's very technical. I just think all around, Eric Williamson's a stud, and
he is
going to prove that this Gold Cup and push himself, I think, into the full team picture as well. We'll quickly go through group by group our picks for the starting 11, and then we'll wrap up with some quick MLS news. So in net, can I get safely guarantee we both have the same player?
Well, real quick, so I'm can almost guarantee that all three of these games are going to have different starting 11s. Are we saying this is like the Canada game that we need? Because Canada game is the last game of the group. So the Canada game to win the group, let's say,
the must win. This is even the final against Mexico.
Okay.
Must win. Whatever you want to call it. This is the must win starting 11 from this group.
Fantastic. Let's do this.
So in net, yes, I'm going to safely assume we both have Matt Turner.
Absolutely. Okay. Write that one in Sharpie, as they say.
Do you want to go through your back line?
Yeah, I think we'll have the same back line. Sam Vines at left back, Walker Zimmerman, Miles Robinson in the middle, and then Reggie Cannon on the right. Like, I think that's to me, that makes the most sense. Okay, that's fine.
I think Greg Berhalter is going to have to
be Canada or Mexico.
Greg Berhalter is going to have to get creative this tournament, I think, especially with the forward options. So I think our best 11 is a three-man back. I think our best 11, Walker Zimmerman, James Sands, Miles Robinson.
Do you put Sands in the middle?
Yeah, because then Sands pushing up into the midfield if he can.
That's what I would do in that case. So I'm obviously playing a four at the back. You're going to play a three at the back.
Okay. I'm playing a 3-5-2.
Okay, and I'll play a 4-3-3.
So 3-5-2. That's your back line. That's my back line. I'll go with my midfield. In my, I guess, left midfield would be Sam Vines
as like a wing back.
Then my two central midfielders would be Kellen Acosta and Eric Williamson, with Reggie Cannon playing like a right midfield. And then above them in my five-man midfield is Sebastian Legette as like the 10, as like an attacking dude above. So
okay,
that's my midfield. What is your four-man midfield?
I have three-man
midfield. I'm in three-man midfield.
In my 4-3-3, it would be one defensive midfielder, so the 1-6, 2-8, one obviously to play like a little further forward. My defensive midfielder obviously will be Kellen Acosta. I think that man will hold it down when we need it to until we have like an injury at left back or right back and we have to pull him back there. And then this is where you're going to get mad at me.
Don't say it.
No, because I'm going to like contradict everything I believe in. Eric Williamson and Sebastian Legette has to start because Busio has no international experience and he – but Williamson at least has played you're right. He hasn't played anything, has he? Okay, well, so here's the thing. The only thing I've got here is Busio, I would rather he was playing really far forward, like almost like as a 10 is where I'd rather see him than playing in like an almost box-to-box role. Okay. So I'd say like Williamson and Legette. Christian Rodon, like I could easily see filling in either of those spots as like one of the eights, but I think Williamson and Legette would be my two center mids.
Yeah, look, I was also trying to go a little fancy with the 3-5-2, so I completely get Williamson and Legette would have been, if I had to go traditional Greg Berhalter, 4-3-3, Williamson and Legette were my eights with a cost out of six. So I completely agree and understand that. Busio will be getting minutes. Berhalter did say that.
Definitely.
Busio will be playing significant time in this tournament. So excited.
Lock him up for
exactly,
us.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I'll let you finish with your three. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't – I mean, I don't know. My question mark is a left wing.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But like TK up front, Paul Ariola on the right, I guess Jonathan Lewis. But so here's my thing: is like Jonathan Lewis, like, is a good left winger when he can play off the bench. Matthew Hoppe at least has scored goals in the Bundesliga against good teams. Like he has, but he hasn't done it at left wing. So I don't really know. Like I have no idea how Matthew Hoppe can cross in the ball unless he's going to be like traditionally just cutting inside. Like, I don't really know. So I'm not sure how to feel about that. So I will say Matthew Hoppe just to be different, but also it makes me kind of think maybe more of like a Hoppe playing more central and then giving Sam Vines a lot more like leeway to take that left side to himself. I don't really know. It's not a good concept. And really, I wish we had a better left wing.
No, I think the best left wing option is ripping my ACL out of my knee and giving it to Jordan Morris.
You can have it and learn how to walk in time for the Gold Cup.
I tore my ACL, so maybe not my ACL, but we'll find.
You can have my ACL. Yeah, I haven't torn that yet.
My two men up front in this imaginary 3-5-2 that's not going to happen, but I'm hoping it does a little bit, is Daryl Dike and Matthew Hoppe. I would love to see it. I think Jassy Zardes coming off the bench would be cool, and I think it would be good. And then, you know, we kind of designate Jonathan Lewis to a
bench super sub role.
Super sub. If we need to push forward with three in the front, we adapt. Like,
I think that would actually be the right time for him.
Because if look, if and let's just, I'm going with my 3-5-2 here, yes. Right? Let's say you have that. You're down a goal against Canada or whatever it may be, and you need to push forward. You can put sub in Jonathan Lewis. You have Bang Bang, and then I guess right wing. I mean, I'm not starting Paul Ariola in my scenario here, so maybe that's not great. But whatever, you push
your decision.
You can put Sebastian Legette up at one wing, right? That's a front three. You push James Sands up into a defensive midfield role, and you just adapt. That's all you got to do is just adapt. I mean, it's not great as I'm speaking it out more and more. I'm gonna be honest, but
it stresses you out too, right? Like, I can't. It is concerning.
How does Greg do this? But yeah,
so a lot of sleepless nights, I'm sure.
I'm sure that's the Gold Cup roster. The Gold Cup will be starting soon. The one last piece about the Gold Cup that I wanted to mention is that 57 MLS players have been called in to the 2021 Gold Cup. So a lot of teams going to be needing to rely on a lot of depth. And yes,
is there a Gold Cup like break? Like we just had this long ass international break. Do we get a Gold Cup break? Oh, so it's awesome for us because we have a lot to talk about on the podcast.
Sucks. Holy crap, for
that
Fraser.
Really sucks. Yeah.
Let's run through some quick news. We don't have to touch on all the news here. Anything that kind of stands out. And the first thing I want to say is we lost the Io Akinola battle. Io Akinola has It doesn't surprise me either, but he has decided to represent the Canadian men's national team over the U.S. men's national team. The Toronto FC striker does have the one appearance for us and that one goal against El Salvador that we will always remember.
Yep. It was a game, a goal.
Yeah, but honestly, the only thing I wanted to say here is that a attack consisting of Ayo Akinola, Alfonso Davies, Jonathan David, Kyle Laren, Lucas Cavallini. That's what I was trying to think of. Jesus.
Doesn't Davies pretty much play a left back for Canada?
He plays like a left wing back. They play like a 3-5-2.
I mean, that's the best way to still get him in the attack.
Exactly. So that is a stellar attack that is going to absolutely wreck the U.S. men's national team for years to come. That's very good. Kyle Laren was just a golden boot leader in Turkey. Alfonso Davies is Alfonso Davies. Jonathan David just led Lille to a Ligue 1 title. Like,
it's fine.
It's just
you added Lucas Cavallini, which really ruins everything for me.
He's the worst one of the. Yeah. Ayo Akinola was taking that spot.
I think it's a very good, front attacking group. I'm really glad that we don't have to qualify for 2026.
Not yet.
No, we don't have to. We got this. I don't really. They still don't know how that's going to work, do they? Like, since it's three nations hosting it, like that's three automatic spots. Like,
yeah, I think we're.
Or are we in the expanded like tournament now, where it's like 64 teams or whatever?
It's expanded, but I still think CONCACAF is getting an extra spot for all three of us to automatically qualify.
It's lit.
Whatever, we're making it.
I would say I think either way we're going to be making it by 2026. No problem.
Guaranteed. The next thing that I want to mention is just super quick. San Jose fired their GM and Jesse Fiornelli, who has been with the club since 2017. Obviously, not a great record since 2017 for the Quakes. A lot of losses in there. Two playoff appearances though, which I was surprised to see. Not much to really talk about. I'm excited that the Quakes could be getting some new leadership. That could also mean Matias Almeida is not in the greatest spot right now. I
have always believed that like Almeida was just going to keep getting better and better every season. And it really feels like he stagnated and this is as good as it's going to be.
Dude's on the hot seat.
He's got to be.
There's five coaches on the hot seat right now, in my opinion. He's one of them. So
I think so.
That's really it. San Jose, I hope you guys can find a new leader and create a roster that actually can bring in players from outside the league that work out, because you haven't had many in the past decade.
Not great luck.
Yeah, not great scouting. update to the 2021 MLS All-Star game is the skills challenge is back. I think the best part of the 2019 All-Star festivities is back. There will be five events underneath the All-Star skills challenge: a shooting challenge, a touch challenge, cross and volley, passing challenge, and then the crossbar challenge, which was the best part of the entire night.
Yes, it
and
was.
I saw someone say that the skills challenge is back from the 2019 All-Star game, and I was like, oh, they, like 2019 is so long ago. There had to have been another one since. Like, no.
No. COVID.
Forgot about that.
This is all we had. It was great.
But Orlando City, remember, they won.
That was fun.
They won that crossbar. Cash, Mueller, Nani, and I don't remember the third player.
Pereira?
No.
No.
Sebastian Mendez?
No. I don't know.
That's real tough. Hang on. You're good now. Don't worry. Daryl DK will be there. A lot of other moves. I know you. Did you want to say something about Christian Ramirez?
Yeah. I found the 2019 All-Star game. Hang on. Vamp for a second while I discuss this. This didn't have it. Wikipedia, piece of crap. So I think this is great. Christian Ramirez has been sold to Aberdeen in the Scottish Premier League. Aberdeen used to be one of the best teams in Scotland. That was where Sir Alex Ferguson got his start before he went to Man U, and really made something of them out of nothing. And like they hung around the top for a long time while Rangers were in the bottom. Aberdeen was one of the best two teams in Scotland. They've really since fallen off. Christian, they needed a striker. They scored 36 goals last season in 38 games. They allowed 38, so they had a -2 goal difference. Like, they were lucky to come in fourth place in Scotland last season and without a striker. And immediately he's been given the number 9 shirt, which is a huge deal, as you know. And I went on their website, did the reading. The coach even said, like, when we were looking for a new striker, we found Christian. He was the number 1 guy on our list. We wanted him. We wanted him from the beginning, and we wanted to give him the number 9 shirt, and we want him to start every week. So that's a guy who just played for Minnesota United in NASL, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? Like,
not too long ago.
And, like, has won a couple starts for the U.S. men's national team. Like, hasn't played a whole lot, but, man, he's been around, and I think he's earned this move after a bummer in Houston. And I'm very, very excited for this.
You know, there's always like a few points that I always like my mind goes towards. And right away when I heard Christian Ramirez saying, like, you know, his European dream is coming true. Like, so happy
at for the dude. 30.
Hey, it happens.
No, I totally agree. Like, isn't it crazy though? Like,
yeah,
the way we talked about him when he was on Minnesota.
He's like, scored a bunch of goals in NASL. He's scored a bunch of goals in MLS. He's won a supporter shield. You know, I think it comes down to now, I just want to, like, I would love to see him raise like a Scottish Cup or something. Like, I would just love to see him do that.
Well, it's all on ESPN Plus, so now we can watch
I watch a lot of Christian Ramirez. The only other piece that, you know, you said, Sam, was that like the hiring manager said, like, Christian Ramirez was our #1 target. The hiring manager, the manager of Aberdeen is Stephen Glass, who may sound familiar. Atlanta United 2's former manager, former interim Atlanta United manager. So he's familiar with MLS. He's familiar with Christian and some players around the league. So
that could become a good, like, you know, jumping point for a lot of guys. Like,
I think
getting to Scotland, like, and that's like the right level for like a young MLS guy to go in. Like,
I think for like a lower tier MLS guy, if that
makes
sense. Like, and I don't want to offend anybody, so whatever. No one's listening to this. Aaron Herrera is a dude who I think has European aspirations. He will play in Europe one day. I think if he could succeed for 2 seasons within, you know, the Scottish Premier League, then he could go on and play in bigger clubs and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's just, I like, that's the level of talent that I'm thinking of a little bit, but.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think you're right. And like, I do kind of like that. I hope the Glass sticks around and makes that a possibility.
The Glass.
And well, he was like,
Glass.
He was like, what, 1.1 million for Christian Ramirez?
No, it was less than that.
Was it?
I think it was like 350K.
Oh my God.
I think they got him like on a free, like, pretty much. But
I mean, yeah, all right, that's fine.
You look for that. The only other pieces that I quickly want to mention, more for the listeners, less of a conversation point, is some loan dealing that has happened around MLS. First off, Nashville SC, they decided to extend the loan deal for striker Yonder Cadiz until the end of the 2021 season.
Love that.
It has not been the most productive season, but he's been getting chances. So maybe these chances can turn into more of a production later on down the line. Maybe he can get back into the 11 a little bit more. CJ Sapong's been playing a lot lately. But I know you are a big Yonder Cadiz fan. I'm happy to see him get, it seems like, a second shot in Nashville.
Yeah, well, and that was a really big thing when we did the preview, as I said, if he doesn't stick around, then they're pretty screwed up front. Like, well, even without just a guy who can create space for other guys to run into by dragging someone out of position, like Yonder Cadiz is very good at that. And if they couldn't continue that loan for at least a little bit longer and they went into the summer without someone, they would have been pretty screwed. So at least getting through the rest of this season is very, very good. I mean, obviously, like, it's not great for him to then go back mid-season in Portugal, but, like, they don't have to worry about that.
It gives him a second shot to prove himself to be maybe purchased from Benfica, right? Yeah. So
I think Cadiz is, like, a good fit in Nashville.
I would like to see it. I just want to see him earn it, really. Yeah. I think that's my biggest thing is he has the name. He has the South American, like, I think, draw to him that a lot of MLS fans like.
Yep. Yeah.
It's just now let's score some goals now. Like, you're our striker, you're our DP number nine. Let's finish it, right? Because if we're going to be good, we need a DP number nine to bang in some goals. Right. And I think that's exactly the case that didn't happen in Cincinnati because they have decided to not extend the loan on striker Jurgen Lacadia from Brighton. We've talked a lot about Jurgen Lacadia, I think just as much as other MLS and Cincinnati podcasts probably have about the Dutch striker. It just wasn't a success in MLS. No. It wasn't a success in Cincinnati. 3 goals in 26 games. Jurgen, it was great to know you, bud. It's great to know you. But they did extend the loan contract for Franco Kovacevic from Hoffenheim. He joined the middle of last year. He's only had 2 appearances for the club since joining last year. So, again, another odd why keep him around. But, We'll find out. That's all I really wanted to say about that. The last piece of news that I quickly wanted to mention was Austin FC. So it was announced earlier this week that striker Danny Hosen is out for the rest of the season. I think he's having surgery on his knee and he'll miss the rest of the 2021 season. Austin then came out and said that they are interested in finding a striker, interested in, you know, purchasing a new striker to come in and eventually score some goals because Austin.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, Austin hasn't really done that too well.
They're trying really hard right now.
I forgot the game's on.
They have a lot more possession than Portland from what I can tell. That's about it, though. Well, spoiler.
Austin has scored the least amount of goals in the league as of July 1st.
Cincinnati.
They have scored 6 goals on the season. Cincinnati scored 9. That's surprising.
It's not bad.
Chicago scored 7. Well, so.
Poor Jason. I really feel for Jason in the fire this year.
Austin, they are, at least they're trying to fix their problem. Yeah. They went out, they signed a striker from Ligue 2 in Moussa Dejete. He's coming from Grenoble Foot in the French second division. Like I said, you know, 20 goals and 2 assists in about 90 professional games across Switzerland and France. Not bad. Let's see. I know the Ligue 2 boys in MLS have been doing well lately, you know. Yeah. MLS is just picking up that second division in France talent, so
yeah,
we'll see.
As long as France can't pay anyone because of the TV rights, we'll pick them up.
We'll thrive, baby.
It's fine. It's fine. You know, like, someone's got to because no one else is.
Sam, the last thing that I wanted to mention on this podcast
sounds somber.
It's happy for me. It's somber for you.
We're gonna do that.
Thiago Andrade. Run against Donovan Pines.
Look, all I know is that one of them got called up to their national team and the other one didn't. So, yeah.
Really, I'm surprised Thiago Andrade didn't get called up to the Brazilian national team.
Yeah, me too, right? Yeah, so that really hurt after what I would have called a pretty hard-fought game.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, you can go to MLSaces.com. Check out the last blog that was put up. I put up the top five moments you must see from...
Wait, but is it on TikTok too?
It is on TikTok too.
Shit.
But the top five moments you must see in MLS from week 10, Thiago Andrade's game-winning full pitch.
It was amazing. Like, remember when Koeman Sun did that against Burnley a couple years ago? Yep. It's not as good as that because he didn't have to like run through as many people.
Yeah, he had to run through Donovan Pines.
Yeah, but it was pretty impressive.
A few other of those moments that I just quickly want to mention. Daniel Shallowy, the dude's had an absolute bounce back of a 2021 season.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's had, this past week, he had 3 goals and an assist in their 2 games against LAFC and the Rapids. So just want to shout out Daniel Shallowy there. And then the other player I want to shout out is Nani. I mean, I think Nani in Orlando City, 7 goals they scored this past week against San Jose and against Miami. He had 5 contributions, I think 2 goals and 3 assists. So Nani has been absolutely killing it. I think throwing his name into the MVP rank, the MVP conversation ranks, along with Daniel Shallowy and obviously Carlos Hill and Chicharito being in that conversation as well.
100%.
Sam, any final closing moments you want to mention before we get into the end of the episode, or we end the episode, I guess?
No, I think I'm good. Lots of soccer coming up. We got Euros and Copa America again tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, so, Copa America again.
Yeah, my gosh, it's never-ending soccer for the summer, boys, and I love it.
The only thing that I want to mention is on Saturday, make sure you guys watch Columbus Crew versus New England Revolution. It is the opening of the Columbus Crew's new stadium. I think I read or heard somewhere, it's the 3rd new soccer-specific stadium opening this year in MLS.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati, Austin, and now Columbus. So check it out. I think it's lower.com stadium. I think that's the brand or the whoever the sponsor.
I'll just call it MapFree.
Yeah. new historic Crew Stadium. Yep. But yeah,
will it light on fire in game 1? Maybe.
Imagine it does. Huh. But
I'd cry tears of joy.
Yeah. That's everything we got here for MLS Aces Podcast episode 191. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. If you guys, please, always, we appreciate you sharing us. We appreciate the interactions on social media. We appreciate any likes and reviews you can give us. So please, if you can do that, thank you. Greatly, greatly appreciated. Sam, I appreciate you co-hosting with me tonight.
And, I appreciate you, Tom.
Let's enjoy some MLS and some soccer this weekend, right?
Oh, yes.
All right.